I'm Joe Day, and I'm at one of the beaches on the island of Kauai in the Hawaiian Islands. I'm sitting a respectful distance from a brownish-gray, six-foot creature lying asleep on the sand just a few feet from the ocean. The creature is an Hawaiian monk seal, one of only just over 1,000 on Earth. I'm here with Donna Lee, one of the many volunteers in the Kauai Monk Seal Watch Program.
This is a 8 to 10 year old female adult.
And what is she doing?
She's resting. They haul out to rest and to give birth, and we know she's not anywhere near giving birth. So we deduce that she is resting, totally. She will be here probably until sunset.
And then what will she do?
She will go out to forage or get a drink of water. Basically, seals eat at night and then haul out during the day to rest and to digest.
What do they eat?
They eat lobster, eels, octopus, and fish. The hoary, H-O-A-R-Y, bat, and the Hawaiian monk seal are the two known mammals.
That came here before, that were here when people came?
Correct, yes.
When did the seals come to this island? I know that they were in the northwestern islands of the Hawaiian Islands. Many of our listeners probably don't know that there are a number of uninhabited islands up to the northwest of the inhabited Hawaiian Islands. When did they start coming to Kauai?
I would say it was in the late 1990s, early 2000.
Why do you think they came here?
I think because of the problem of predation in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands. That refers to the tiger shark, who loves to eat the pups. Oh, and food supply due to lack of food. And because of that, I think they spread out and eventually ended up on Kauai.
You're a member of a group that that watches these monk seals and protects them. Tell me about the group and what you do.
The group is called Kauai Monk Seal Watch Program. We've been in existence since, say, 2000, 2001. We incorporated as a nonprofit in 2004. And our focus is to educate and protect.
What are some of the threats? They've been classified as an endangered species by the federal government, I believe, in 1976.
Correct.
What are some of the threats to them?
Entanglements, predation, plastic poisoning, if you will, which can best be described by the area of plastic in the Pacific, which we call the Pacific Garbage Patch, which is larger at this time than the state of Texas. And this plastic washes ashore on the small atolls in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, and that uses up their land space. They're called monk seals because of their solitary existence. So they stretch out on a beach. They occupy a space all by themselves, and if it's occupied by plastics, then they don't have the room to give birth and to just exist.
What about threats from humans? In other words, there is a rope and a sign, you know, please do not disturb as the seal is sleeping. Do people violate that often, sometimes?
Never? Often and sometimes. Yes, they do, and it's because the seal is sleeping and it doesn't appear that it's going to cause them any or challenge them if they go and take a photograph. And there's always that shot of the day attitude. And I have been the subject of four-letter words Who do you think you are by telling me I can't take a photograph? And meanwhile, they still have a camera stuck in their face. The majority of people, however, are considerate and respectful is the word.
I'm here with Tim Robinson. Tim, first of all, what is your role with the Seal Watch program?
I'm the projects coordinator for Kauai Monk Seal Watch program.
And what do you do?
the project, basically. I also work on the beach with everyone else, but I run our schools program. We started it 13 years ago. We teach every fourth grade on Kauai, and we started the same thing 7 years ago on Molokai. So we teach a number of kids each year. To date, we've taught over 13,000 children.
So. Your goal is that every child who goes to school on Kauai will at some point or another have learned about monk seals. Why is that important?
It's important because I think to reach people on an individual basis, well, not individual in schools, but on a personal basis, rather than send them brochures or information or learning kits or a CD, which teachers tend to shelve, I think having the personal experience and knowledge of somebody that works with the seals is invaluable. And the long-term goal is then that these guys are going to become the custodians of these animals and the future problem solvers of it. If you don't educate your young, you're not going to have much left after you leave.
I'm at the Kalua Elementary School in the town of Kalua on the island of Kauai.
My name is Keone Powell. I'm a fourth grade teacher at Kalua Elementary.
You're a native of this island?
Absolutely, born and raised. I was about 18 trace generations here in on Kauai.
Why do you think it's important to teach these kids about monk seals?
I think it's important that the children, we see the monk seals around here so much, and they're part of our everyday life. It's important for the children to know about everything around them. I mean, along with monk seals, they can also apply all this knowledge they learn about monk seals to other creatures that they see around.
It's important to you personally, isn't it?
It is important to me, just because, again, I'm from here, I'm born and raised, I've been growing up, I've been going to these beaches my entire life, and I don't want to see any of our natural beauty being destroyed or taken away from us and not being able to have our kids to have that same experience.
What is your name?
Tyler Iwasaki.
Tell me, Tyler, what did you learn about monk seals today?
I learned that monk seals, when they're just born, their mothers stay with them for 45 days.
Do you think it's important to take care of these monk seals?
Yes.
Why?
Because one day they could be extinct and we won't have them anymore.
Why does that matter to you?
Because I love to see monk seals in wildlife, and if they're not around anymore, no one will be able to see them.
Okay, what's your name?
Eli.
What did you learn today about the monk seals?
Well, we learned about how to keep away from monk seals so then they don't get hurt.
On the opposite side of Kauai, at the Hanalei School, other fourth graders learn about marine debris in the vast Pacific Ocean. Tim Robinson, you emphasize, as part of your talk to these students, the marine debris in the ocean. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's a staggering problem. I mean, the degree of it that we're facing. I talked to them about the Pacific gyres that are holding these massive areas of debris in place. What's just in their period, what's on our beaches, I show them things we've retrieved from the beach and what we picked out of simply 1 square foot of sand fills half a glass jar with tiny pieces of debris, broken down plastic, and they're actually very shocked to see what came out of 1 square foot of sand, 1 inch deep, on Kauai's beautiful North Shore.
You also showed them material that you observed and retrieved from a monk seal who was playing with it.
Yes, we actually take real experiences we've had to share with them to show them the extent of the debris problem. And what we did with that was take what we found debris-wise that one juvenile monk seal was playing with in the space of 1 hour at one of our beaches, and that included a discarded fishing float, a plastic insert from Fins and Masts, a champagne cork, and a broken snorkel. All these things were things the seal picked up and were potential death threats to the seal, or were it to choke on them, whatever, in the space of 1 hour at one beach.
Tell me about the size of the marine debris formation in the Pacific Ocean.
And I understand there's three now of these massive areas that are held in place by Pacific gyres. The latest description I've heard of the one closest to us, which is nicknamed the Garbage Patch and sits about 500 miles northeast of us, is roughly two times the size of Texas and growing. And what was originally thought to be 8 to 10 feet deep in the water column now goes down a couple of hundred feet with broken down, cloudier pieces of plastic. It's very frightening what's happening there.
You also tell them that there's no real solution at this time.
Well, I mean, the problem is simply too staggering. The scientists I've talked to say that it's a science fiction solution, some biological or chemical agent that will eventually eat the substances in these plastics and not harm the rest of the ocean. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it does make sense. Just when we look at the volume, and the idea of even carting it out is ridiculous, because where would you put it? You know, and it would take hundreds of years. So it is going to have to be something like that. And yet the best solution immediately is to keep it from getting worse, which is what we talk to the kids about. So.
What did you learn about debris in the ocean today?
That a lot of animals are dying from a lot of the litter out in the sea.
Let me ask you, what do you think you can do about it? Is there anything that can be done about that?
Yeah, we can stop. Don't throw any plastic on the floor, because it can get picked up by like a storm, and it can travel to the ocean.
Did you know that there was so much stuff in the ocean, so much trash and debris?
No, and we can help it if we don't like. Like right now, if I throw a piece of trash on the grass, it could go into the ocean.
He was saying that there's no real answer. In other words, that it's going to have to be science fiction. So what do you think people should do in the meantime?
They should try to do their best to try to save the marine animals and try to put the trash in the right bins.
I'm here with Carla Rowan. She is the teacher here in Hanalei. Why do you think it's important for these kids to know about the marine debris?
Oh, my gosh. They're the future decision makers, and learning to make wise choices in all areas of their life is very important. So it starts right here at school mostly, because that's where they're practicing more of their recycling. And then they take it home and get their parents to recycle, because we've got the program going at school. And it actually often comes from the kids to the parents instead of the other way around.
So in a way, Tim Robinson is using the story of the monk seal to emphasize this other story, this other issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Becoming more sensitive to the wildlife dangers is a much better way to communicate with kids, because they naturally care about animals. So when you start from something they're naturally interested in and then draw it into the threat to them and their actions, they're throwing trash or picking it up, makes a difference?
Well, I have always had a larger message in mind when I'm doing it. The health of our oceans. Monk seals are one species. Yes, I'm passionately concerned about them. I've worked around them for 15 years. But I've always viewed that work as helping the health of our oceans. The oceans, I don't know the exact percentage, but I think it's over 80% of the Earth's surface is ocean, and all life comes from it. So if we don't pay enough attention to that, we're all sort of doomed.
What would you say to people who say, well, they're very nice creatures, but let them die out, there's no problem, and it doesn't mean anything to me? What would you say to people like that?
This is just a small part of everything. And if we let one species go due to lack of attention, then there isn't any reason for the rest of us to be living.
On Kauai, this is Joe Day reporting.